Father in heaven, bless the Lord, Jehovah God, our Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for grace. It is that which brought us liberty to be free from sin and to be a part of your life. A part of the family of God. Surely, Lord, we were once out there in this world of darkness, walking in darkness, not knowing whither where we go and what life is all about. And it was until we know the loving hand that came down from heaven above and reached out to us fallen men and lift us up to the plane that we should be, Lord, to walk with you. Amazing grace that you have given us this revelation of the one true living God, that you are really real. If God is dead, then who is there living in my soul? Who is there that is living in my heart? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Thank you, Father, for giving us that liberty now in Christ Jesus our Lord. He paid the price to give us this liberty. This life. Life in you. Abundant life in Christ Jesus, Father. Oh, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we are here to worship you. To learn of you what's wrong. That from day to day, in order we are set free, Lord, is to walk with you and closer with you. Father, thank you. Now, Father, open our hearts and our spirit, Lord, and souls to the hearing of thy word, to understand the mysteries, Father, that you have laid before us. We do not want to be religious people, Lord. We want to be a people who are spiritual, being filled by the Holy Spirit, led to be being led by thy Spirit, Lord, into thy word, into true life. So now, Father, bless us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want you to watch, look at it, picture very carefully now. My message today is the cross. Gethsemane to Calvary. But I want you to look at this picture. It's the best picture that I could find anyway from the internet. That what shows everybody that's involved on Calvary. So take a good look and observe the people that are around there. And a bit dark, there are people behind here. Can you all see that? Now they can just zoom just this area so that you can see you. If you can. Can you see? Now, when we come to the understanding of the crucifixion, it is not an easy subject because you cannot come to a complete understanding of what surrounds this event. There are many
points of view. Just look at the painting and imagine that you are them. Whether you be the soldier, whether you be the disciples, or whether you be married, or whether you be the common people, or maybe you are the Pharisees, just imagine that you are there. Because sometimes we read the Bible. In fact, many a time I would say that we just read it like a story. A historical record of certain events and that's about it. But read the Bible, but study it and meditate upon it and put yourself in that picture. Put yourself in that place. The events that were going on at that time, as if you were there. So now if you look at this picture, you will know that the disciple is there. Because you have to know who the disciple is. And you know that the woman is there. You know, when we talk about the women, we talk about the women that were very close to Jesus, right? And there are several Marys. Because Mary is a very popular name at that time. Maria or Mariam, which is in Hebrew, Mariam. And then you have the soldiers. And then you can see the religious men there too. The common folk as well. And then of course, beside Jesus you have the two thieves. What else is that? Who else is in this crucifixion? Of course there is the Savior. Who else is there in the crucifixion? In this particular time? Who else is there? Someone probably most of us would never look for, because he's not in this picture. It's the Heavenly Father. You know, if you look at this picture, and if we are there, if we're trying to single out the thought of each of these people, if we want to look at everyone, what is this one thinking? What's the one thing? What is the view of this one, that one, this one? We will be like a cheetah trying to chase a herder of sheep, a goat, or an antelope. Because when a cheetah is going to have food, he will only focus only one of the antelope. He cannot choose this one, this one, this one. He will only single out one and go for that one. Or else you look at this one, look at that one, you'll never get his meal. So today, let me ask you this question. What is the most important verse in the Bible at this event? I mean, if we're told, we say, well, there are many, you know, important things, but we take the saying of Jesus Christ. How many saying of Christ when he was at the cross? 7 sayings. That's a perfect number. And what is the most important thing that make him very human, so to speak? Make Christ very human. Because the other verses we can study it, and we can realize that he's human. Of all the saying upon the cross, there's one verse, one statement that Jesus made that you could see his suffering. And that is in Matthew 27:46. So we are going to be like the cheetah. We are going to focus only one deer, so to speak, or one antelope. So we are going to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, this cry, and those who were around the cross heard it. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" If you were a disciple of Jesus Christ and you were there, and you heard him cry like that, you wonder what's going on. Yahweh has forsaken his own son. Think about the event that's going on. He already gone through a lot of pain out there, man. Now we're looking from the vantage point of the Messiah at the cross. But all those around the cross, what do they think? What was their opinion? Or what was it that what went through their mind when they stood there and looked at this man hanging upon the cross? The one who they know were not a thief or not a criminal. What went through their mind? The soldiers, for example, we go by one and see what you think. The soldier, what do you think when they behold this man? Remember, these are Roman soldiers. They took him, the cross was on the floor, they laid him down, put his hand up, and nailed him. What did they go through? What went through their mind? They are Romans, you know, they are not Jews. I mean, if you're a soldier, what do you think? You have to shoot somebody, what do you think? Huh? And just like the extreme terrorists out there in the Middle East who just take anyone whom they do not like, or they just shoot him, they just say, well, you know, they were ordered to shoot by some crazy commander, and they would think, oh, well, anyway, it's an unfortunate victim. They need to be put to death, that's all. Now, if you are an executioner, you know, back in those early days when they used the gallows to hang a person in public, they usually the executioner wear a hood so that nobody can see his face. And he's ordered by authority, just put the lever and boom, the victim just dropped down through a hole and break his neck. What do you think the executioner is thinking? Now, this person, he was told by the authority, he's a criminal, and just, you know. Or maybe he's not a criminal, but he was a victim of circumstances. Someone make him a victim. Someone like that he's a rapist or he's a killer or whatever. And the soldiers behold him as an unfortunate victim. They need to be put to death. What about the religious people? The Pharisees standing there, the Sadducees, and the scribe, what do they think of him? What do they behold? How do they behold this man? To the religious people, well, he's a blasphemer. Was he not? To them, he was a blasphemer. He deserved to be put to death. Now, what about the disciples? I don't know how many disciples were left hanging around the cross. Remember, there were 11. Now, maybe there were just not just 11, there were the others outside the circle of the chosen. They were there. What do they think of him? Well, maybe they look at him and say, oh, my goodness, he's a perhaps a deluded and a weak Messiah to get away from. After all, they expect him to be a king. Now he's on the cross, and all that he said about himself did not come to pass. What about the woman? The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, all these other Mary, they were hanging around the cross. They are thinking, oh, what a pity. The one whom they love is now suffering on the cross. Oh, pity. They probably stood there and they cried. The common folks, all standing right behind them. In this picture, what do you think going on through the various ones in the crowd? If you see something happen on the streets and a lot of people are gathered there, and you gather there, you probably have your own thoughts. Others have their own thoughts. Yes. So probably they think that, well, it's a shameful spectacle anyway. Shameful spectacle anyway to just stand there and comment and whisper to somebody, yeah, this is what I think of him, that's what people said of him. Or some of you might just say, come on, let's get away from this. This is one of those things that happened. Right? Listen. What is your idea about the man that recently was charged in court for throwing a wine bottle down from a condominium and hit the head of a man and crack his skull? Well, he's serving his sentence now. And what about the couple that mistreat their two mates, husband and wife? What do you think when you read the paper? What's your opinion? You have anything to comment? What do you think? Some people think, well, you know, these are very terrible. Or maybe, hey, you think that you're bad. Maybe it's the maid. Right? So we have all kinds of, you know, thoughts going through our mind. All right here. In this event. What about the two thieves on the cross? Huh? And what's by the one on the left? He's coming. He considered that the man who was hanging on the cross. Huh? On the right hand of Jesus. Who's, you know, he's on the left and Jesus on the right. He said, he's an imposter. Because he probably heard. He claimed him in the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, the question is, were any of these idea, is there any one of them, any one idea here, or all of it, correct as far as they look at Jesus is concerned? The one, the thief on the left, and all these others, what's going on through their mind? The only two persons who saw Jesus to be who he was. And we're going to look at it. Alright? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 12, 1 to 2. Now I want you to meditate on this, alright? Don't just sit and hear as a sermon. When we look at the Bible, I want you to drift into that event, that particular time. Because the cross is not just the cross. The crucifixion is not just on Mount Calvary. The crucifixion begins on the last of Christ's life. The night that he knows that he's going to be betrayed. And he took his last meal at the Passover table that was prepared for him. So I want you to remember this. Because you see, until you know the loving hand that reaches down to you, until you know that God is really real, then you know nothing. Until you know His love. We take many, let me say this to be a fact. Seriously. Majority of Christian people, I'm not thinking about the sinner. Majority of Christian people take Jesus Christ for granted. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner, He died for me. And He wanted to save me. And I thank Him for it. I want to be a Christian. And that's about all that they do. That's all. That's what they believe. That's all. They want to go to heaven. Remember I preached one time. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. We're all so happy because there's one that died for us. He died, I may live, I'm so happy. But have you really looked at His loving hands, His death for you, and your relationship with Him? John chapter 12, 1 to 8. There are two persons. As I said, there are two persons who really know who Jesus was. John chapter 12, 1 to 8. Somebody read.
That 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom He had raised from the dead. Then He made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and houses filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had a money box, and He used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. But for the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always."
Mary, this Mary of Bethany, is the only one that recognizes. Just that moment of time, knowing that Christ is going to die. And Jesus Christ knew, maybe knew about it. But Mary anointed Jesus' head and washed His head, anointed His head and washed His feet. Judas is always one of those who think that he cares. Well, how many pieces? 300 pieces of denarius. That's a lot of money in those days. We can use the money and give it to the poor. Why waste it? Why waste it? Why waste it? Their oil, spikenard is very, very expensive in those days. She's not wasting it. She has saved the money, bought the alabaster oil of spikenard, poured it upon Jesus' head to anoint Him. Is it a waste to anoint the head of your Messiah, your Savior? Jesus knew that she knew that He was going to die. He was going to be crucified. That He was going to His grave. None of these disciples knew it. Wow. You know how Jesus loved this woman? And there are several of them. But this Mary is very special. You know about this Mary? It's not Mary Magdalene. It's not his mother. It's not Adam Mary that he knows. But this Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Jesus loved this family because they loved him. Whenever Jesus went to the home for a cup of tea or a meal, people will always be there because they want to hear him. So he would sit down and people were sitting in the courtyard and he, Jesus would preach. And Mary, Martha, well, they love him. Martha, wow, let me serve the Lord. And she was so busy serving cakes, bread, coffee, tea. Yeah, everybody be happy because Jesus will talk and share the word of God for a long time. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And sometimes even longer than that. Remember? But Mary! Mary, she couldn't bother to serve everyone. Why won't these people be served? There is already food given up, not by Martha, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? What is food? Food for your flesh or food for your soul? Mary just sit beside the Lord Jesus Christ and listen and listen and listen. Martha, Lord, what could you tell my sister to help me? What did Jesus say to her? Martha, you are just filled with all this serving thing, you know? A care of this life thing. Yeah, we all care for the poor. Out there we try to help. We do everything we can. But that is not the priority. That is not the number one thing. My ministry is not the number one thing. Huh? The ministry God given to me is not the number one thing. What is the number one thing in my life? Is to love the Lord. Learn from Him. I want you to know that. Martha, Mary got the best part. Fed by the word of God. To listen. A mother, how much would she be listening to when she serves? Right? Your attention to the word of God. How important is it? How important is it? How important is your life on this earth? That you care for so much of your career. Huh? For your flesh. Your status. Your activities. Oh yeah, I mean, as far as you want to serve the Lord is concerned, I know there are a lot of activities out there in the churches. This program, that program, this program, that program. Oh yes. I just recently heard, I forgot about it, but I recently heard again. There's some churches in Singapore. They are the congregation. They are training the congregation. And in groups, like a cell group thing. And there's always someone who is leader. And he will hold the first rank. Then he will train other, and so that each one of them can pick up to go to a second rank. It's just like in the army. A private to a lance corporal, to corporal, to sergeant, to staff sergeant, and so on. They have that. They're proven. And so people strive for it. I know because when I was in the exams, God has always given me the young people. Keep them busy. That's why they never cater. You don't have it anymore in Singapore as far as I'm concerned. I don't ever heard of it. How many of you know about Navigator? No? Back in those days, in the 60s, they were very active. It was an organization. And they produced scriptural verses on each card. And they sell it in the pack with a little purse on it. They wanted to join as a navigator to navigate people, so to speak. But you need to memorize the pack of verses. I don't know how many is in the pack. You memorize all those verses. Then someone will test you. And you pass through all the verses in memory and remember all of them. Then you buy the second pack. And so on and so forth. Because they have their own doctrine, they contravene the churches as well. Now, your life as a Christian, you're serving the Lord. Yes, I know you're serving the Lord. But most of all, pay attention to His word. For it is the one going to carry you through, not your service for the Lord. It's not going to carry you through. You remember? Because in serving for the Lord, there is a lot of pride in some people, in many, I would say. Remember the disciples went out, sent out 2 by 2? And Jesus was giving the anointing that they can pray for the sick and the sick can get healed and lame walk and so on. They came back telling the Lord Jesus Christ, report him. And they were so, oh, even the devil, you know, subject to your name, you know, unto us. And Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fell from heaven. It's because of prayer. Oh, they never subject to me when I command them to get out, cast them out. And that's what you see in charismatic Pentecostal churches. There's so much talk about all of this. That because you're a gift, they're given to you, you lift that up so high. But what about the man who give you the anointing? And the man who give you anointing, who is this man? How mindful of you are you of the Lord Jesus Christ every day? How mindful are you of it? Here we see this. Verse 7. Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing, have she kept this? Wow. She didn't buy the alabaster box of oil in the last minute. She knew. She already bought it and kept it until that moment. Because Mary had been with Jesus, sat there and just listening to the word, got so in tune with the word. The loving hand of the Lord, the word that goes out from Him. Whenever Mary sits down there with the rest of the people to hear Him minister the word, she just absorb, swallow every word, digest every word. And she came to know the time will come when He must die. She knew who He was, who Jesus really was. The disciples did not yet know, many of them. But perhaps a fraction of it. Even John, the beloved, sitting near to Jesus Christ, didn't quite know. Remember, only until the Pentecost came. But Mary knew. And of all, and she was a woman. And you sisters, think about it. Is not Mary the mother of Jesus? She's standing at the cross, crying and weeping out with the Son hanging there on the cross. See, a mother's love, the mother's pain. or someone she had been carrying for 9 months. Someone who she has breastfed, raised up, feeding him, teaching him, growing up in the home of Joseph, the carpenter. Jesus learned Mary was always there, the mother was always there, caring for him. Cooked for him. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't even know as much as what Mary knew, Mary of Bethany, of the day that he would die. Yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew that this Jesus, this son of his, hers, was born to take away the sins of the people of Israel. But not quite understand the way Mary Magdalene actually knew. He's going to die now. Right. You know, at the time the 12 disciples, well, they were with him. And they were going to Jerusalem because the feast is approaching. They're going to take the Passover soon with Jesus Christ. They know, yes. But having been with Jesus for so long, and even with this event in Bethany, when Mary anointed Jesus, how many of them knew? None of them. And even as Jesus Christ was with them, even at the Passover table. And what Jesus said, you know, they refused to admit their thinking. They have a lot of things going through their mind. Because Jesus said a lot of words they do not understand. They did not understand. Because they have planned for him. Let us go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, 31. Mark chapter 8, 31, 32, 33, and 34.
Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, he rose again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him, and began to entreat him. But when he turned about, and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou sayest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him, and his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and pick up his cross, and follow me."
See? You know about the disciples, you know, Peter is always the the one who is very outspoken. And many times, you know, he never really think before he speaks. Because he has planned. Like the rest of the disciples, they have planned for Jesus. And when Jesus Christ said this, that he will suffer many things, rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribe, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Ah, the disciple heard Jesus said that. Peter said, "Come on, here, come Jesus, my Lord, come here." And Peter rebuked him. "Well, you're not going to die, you're not going to die, that's going to happen to you. This is not going to happen." Think about it, huh? Maybe that we read the Bible, we don't think about it. Read about it carefully and examine it and see how the trauma plays out. And when Hollywood make movies of the Messiah of Jesus of Nazareth, they try to dramatize. Many times I watch some of these and they went off a little. Just imagine. Not so, Lord. Not so. This couldn't be. It cannot be happening to you. Because they do not understand. They did not understand that he must die. He must be rejected, crucified, and down. The third day he rise again. Right? Well, and Jesus Christ rebuked him. And know who is that speaking? Because Peter had entertained a wrong spirit. That's why I'm sitting out there. I'm talking, I don't care about the religious war, the denomination, the way it is going. I'm talking about those in the end time message. Think. Many of us are entertaining a wrong spirit and they do not know it. Yes, they do not know it. And many of them actually bring reproach to themselves. Here was this American minister, I don't mention the name. It's all over the internet on YouTube and all this. I mean, here's well known. He went out there and preached, just quoting Brother Branham. And says that the white cannot marry the black, should not be marrying the black. Because God has races. The black married the black to keep the black black. Married the white to keep the white white. Things like that. And we, yellow people, Ching Chong Chang, mother must marry Ching Chong Chang to keep the Ching Chong Chang yellow. What? You know, they called, he called Brother Abraham without even understanding one bit. And even till today. You get so, I'm so sick and tired of their stupidity of people. In fact, I asked many of them. And you know, they said that, you know, God and Brother Abraham said no cross intermarriage. White must marry white, black must marry black. I asked them one question. You know Brother Branham. Was he white? Was Brother Branham a white man? Really? His mother was an Indian, Red Indian, Cherokee. Okay, let's say that his father is white and his mother is Red Indian blood, and you have 100% of the Red Indian blood in him. So who is going to marry? His sister married, sister Mida, whom he married, was she also half, had some Cherokee blood in her? That is madness. If a Chinese man married an Indian from India, a Chinese from China, married an Indian from India, the child is born. And what is his name? Does he carry the Chinese name or Indian name? He carries a Chinese name because his father is Chinese. Right? Everybody, when he go to school, everybody will call him, oh, you know, he's Chinese and Chinese, Chinese. Even though he looks a little bit Indian. When he grow up, when he gets married, is he going to look for a wife who is half Chinese and half Indian? After all, he's half now. You cannot expect him to marry a Chinese. You cannot expect him to marry an Indian. If you thought you only want to keep that pure, right? Hybrid blood. You see, the foolishness of it all. That's why I always put a question to these people. Where do you think you come from? Now you think you're my father, you're Chinese, of course. My grandfather all from China. I said, yeah, go back all the way back. Where do they come from? Is there such thing as a pure Chinese race after the flood? Huh? You see, that's what happened. And when that was out there in the internet, the news media, they report on him in the news in America. And they make comment about this pastor being a racist. Think about it.
If you do not know the Bible, don't open your mouth. That's why when I preach things like that, people don't like me. They call me, they say the brother Gunn is smarter than, he thinks he's smarter than Brother Branham. No, I'm stupid. In my flesh, I'm stupid. By being my spirit, I have the intelligence of God. Because where do you think my intelligence comes from? Where do you think your intelligence comes from? You think your intelligence comes from a monkey? We are created in God's image. And if you are born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, quickening you, giving you a new birth. And if you hold the Holy Spirit, you must have the mind of God. You must have the Spirit of God in you to make you understand. That's why the Bible said the preaching is foolishness to the world. Because when we speak the truth about the Word of God, people cannot accept it. Brother does not, did not know all things. As Abraham made him up to be. Nobody knows all things. We don't know all things, even now. But I can say one thing, we know more today than what Brother Abraham had in those days. Oh, Brother God! That's why you think you're better than Brother Branham. But I want to tell you, Branham, out there, you're really foolish. You don't know what you believe. Your doctrine is set upon the quotes of Brother Branham, the statements of Brother. My doctrine is set upon this solid word of God. The very Bible, the Bible lifted up, said, this is my absolute. He didn't say, Brother Ben did not say, my word is absolute. You stand before God in judgment. I don't care what you think of me out there. Because I know what I believe. I know I have sinned. The light. I know my call. And how can you get to know more about the mystery of God and the truth of God when all that you have is holding on to the statement of Brother Branham? Me, I'm not going to get close to Brother Branham. You people out there, you only want to get close to Brother Branham, his tape, his quotes and everything. Me, this is what I want to get close to. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all I want to tell you one thing, brother, sister. This is the book that you need to read as often as you can. Study as often as you can. Mm-hmm. Because if that's going to become a big squeeze, I don't know how it's going to come, maybe it's going to come upon here, you here in Singapore. I don't know. In many countries, the Bible is not even allowed. People don't even have a chance to get a Bible. But the word that you study, the word that you have, if one day the squeeze comes and the Bible is taken away from you, you have no Bible, all of which you have learned and get from God will preserve you. Right? Because God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. They have no interest to learn my word. They have only interest to learn what the preacher said, what the preacher, what the prophet said, what the prophet said, but they don't know about me. You know the period? The Paul preached to? They just simply just hear what Paul said and just say, yeah, I believe what everything Paul said. No. Because they are wise. They take it to the word. Right? They take it to the word and check it out if those things he said were true. So look. Look at the disciple. After all, you know, the woman did not have the chance to follow Jesus wherever he went. The disciples were the one. There's always the 12, and there's always the 3, Peter, James, and John. Right? But the woman don't follow. Only when they come to the Bethany or to a place where, you know, the woman leave, and the woman come, oh, Jesus is going to that house. Okay, they went and listen. But when Jesus got trouble throughout Judea, the woman don't trouble with him. Because Jesus Christ is training the disciples, teaching them, raising up them up, so that later on they could be apostles, sent out with a mission. But yet, they all have ideas, their own plan. What did he say to Peter? Look at him. 33. He turned about and looked on his disciple, and he rebuked Peter. Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Jesus looked at the disciple right there, and Peter standing there, he rebuked Peter, so that the rest will learn. And what did he say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou servest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. It wasn't Peter's saying that. It was the devil that was using him. Yes. Some people say, the devil made me do it. That is common, huh? The devil made me say it. And if you ever, any of you Christians, use an F word, don't tell. Don't open your mouth and say, the devil made me use it. Oh, yes. You understand what I'm saying? No, the devil didn't use it. But you are entertaining your thoughts. That's why I said last Friday when we share, there is life. The power, the prince of darkness in this world, the principality of the air, power of the air, he will manipulate you. Because you see, they disappear all the time when he was Jesus Christ. They have idea about him. Oh, he's going to be the king. What do you think about Judas Iscariot? He followed Jesus. He was one of those who think that he can topple the Roman government. Because here is one who is very charismatic. Yes. Barabbas. It's not much different from Barabbas. In those days, they have a lot of rebels. And they all have idea about this man called Jesus. But at least some of them are wise, they don't open their mouth. Peter entertained too much. He thinks he knows a lot. And there's a weakness of Peter. What did God put that all in the Bible? So that we can look down on Peter? No. So that you can look upon yourself, that you could be like Peter, entertaining a wrong thought, having a wrong spirit, ideas about this man called Jesus. That what denomination have in the view of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, and the view of who this man, William Graham, was. The Branhamite? Oh, William Branham, the last and the greatest of prophets. They all have the view. But the one question that remains always in the Bible to every individual in this world: what would you do with this man called Christ? What would you do with him? Who is this man called Christ? Verse 34. Now, verse 33, the last, the end part. For thou servest not the thing that be of God, but the thing that be of man. Now, he says the things that be of man, not the things that be of the devil. It's the devil that influences you, and you think the opinions, huh? The man's opinion, a man's opinion. That's why we have a lot of this opinion
around surrounding the masses. A lot of opinion. In politics also, a lot of opinion out there in America. And even Singapore, of course, some people do not like what our government is doing. And they have a blast. Last time, Lee Kuan against Lee Kuan Yew. Even America blasts against him, the Herald Tribune and the New York Times, and even Larry King. You know, the people is that when you people have opinion, everyone has opinion, right? Okay. But when it comes to the opinion of who Jesus Christ is, you better make sure there is no opinion of man. He's one of the, Jesus Christ is just one of the, you know, founder of a great religion called Christianity. Some people say that, right? But some people say, no, he didn't find Christianity. It was Paul that founded Christianity. You know, there's a lot of opinion on that, on the internet. What is your opinion of Christ? He's either a savior to you, either he's a son of God, or he's not. That's all. Don't think about any other opinion. That he's this, this, no use. Either he is your savior, or he is not your savior. Either you see him as a son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or he is not to you. Simple as that. Don't come and bring out all the other reasoning of your own opinion to support what you think he is. Useless. Let your answer be yea or nay. Not maybe. Maybe he's the son of God, maybe he's not. Let's go then to verse 34. When he had called Peter, the people unto him with his disciple, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Interestingly, he's just about going to his death. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. How many are taking up your own cross? How many of you are taking up your own cross? You know, if you are just a religious people, if you are just saying that you I come to church, I worship the Lord, I give my tithes and offering, brother, that's not important. That's not important. What is most important, as I said about this, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Like the song, unto you know the loving hand that reaches down to fallen men, which is you and me. Then you know nothing until you really know the love of God. Oh. I don't know. Yeah, I've been often time just to meditate. You know, to be in a quiet moment, just to meditate in a room by yourself. And just meditate upon the love of God. Because if you have a relationship with Christ, you meditate upon Him, just to meditate upon His love, His death, how He suffered. He will come into the presence in the room and take you into the realm of your relationship with Him. You cannot miss that. Because there's joy. I sit there and I cry because there's joy. But who am I? A worm. A worm. Wretched. What is man? The Lord you are so mindful of. The Him you visit. What are we? Who are you? You're a worm. You know you are a worm. You are a maggot. That's what we are. And if we can just look up into heaven and see the heaven open up
And here came the Son of God to become the Son of Man, to serve him, to serve mankind. What love is that? If you know that love, that will seal you. Whosoever will come after me, listen to that word. Whosoever will, let him come after me. And let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ is taking his cross, going to Gethsemane, going to Calvary. You take up your cross, you deny yourself and follow him. You think it's easy? We sing the song many times, it's not an easy road. If we're traveling to go on. So many are the thorns on the way. Well, that is true. But when we sing this song, did we carry our... When you sing a song, how many times when you sing, have we carried the cross and walked that road? Because many times we grumble. We face a lot of problems in life, we'll be upset. Let's go to Mark 14, 27. Mark 14, 27 to 31.
Mark 14, 27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he shall speak the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said the other.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's the strength of a man. That's the strength of a man. I will not deny you. Jesus knew. What did he say then? It says in verse 27, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Who is I? The Almighty. Jehovah God. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. The Father is involved. Oh my goodness. Think about it. Is the Almighty God Himself smiting His own Son, who was a shepherd of Israel? He came, He sent Him to feed the lost sheep, to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet the Father in heaven says, I will smite Him. And the sheep will be scattered. Then I want you to say the thing about the cross. We're talking about Gethsemane, the Calvary. This was the moment not far from Gethsemane. The last part, everything is prepared to go to Gethsemane, for he needs to go to Gethsemane. And Jesus said, quoting the scripture, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. The disciples did not understand. And Peter, although all will be offended, I will not. If all these other disciples will be offended, I will not. I will not. I will not.
Really? All my years of ministry, I learned to be wise. That's concerning the Word of God. When I came in 1971, I read his book, Brother Abraham's sermon, heard a few tapes. With all the ministers that came from overseas, Canada, America, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, I sat and listened. Oh my, lots of opinion. The opinions of the men, those men. And it's affecting me as well. For the author of was a greenhorn. Green. Thinking that this man, there will be Brother Branham. All was Brother Branham. He said that. I thought, well, these people know that. But already all my years of Bible study, when I was in the examples of God, those 16 fundamental truths, and yet in my own time of study, typology, which I love the most, and hearing all these men talk about the message, I thought, wow, they must be right. But there was a lot of story in my heart. They all say, see what the prophet said. Say exactly what the prophet said. For 2 years. But while those 2 years we were all having fellowship, the 7-8 of us, and all we do is just to read the Bible. We sit the tip of our hand and read the Bible and discuss. Until God put a test to me. Because His loving hand, I really experienced. I didn't open my mouth. But when I was tested, because God knows my pathway. And He put His hand, a hurdle before me, so that I would not go into the wrong path. But I was put to shame. Because I was regurgitating and behaving just like all those preachers. Say what the prophet said. Problem said this, problem said that. You know, I thank God. I was sitting with a trained missionary at OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship, at Cluny Drive, next to Botanic Garden. I did not even say Brother Branham said. I was just making a statement that Brother Branham made. When I just start to quote it, the few words, the whole sentence, I only have a few words that comes out from my mouth, and immediately the Holy Spirit hit me so hard. There were never two major, that's about it, the answer. I realized that was the biggest mistake I made. That was an error. And they were very quick to know, because they know about William Branham. One of them said to me, are you trying to tell me that there were no two major prophets on the earth at the same time? You want us to show you the Bible? I said, you don't have to. I know it. And I said, excuse me, I can go. It's about 5 minutes. Walking all the way home. You don't know how you feel. I wonder how Peter felt when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times? You know how much pain that he felt. You know how much pain that he felt. And that's how I felt when I walked all the way home. 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers from the Botanic Garden all the way down to Queenstown where the driving center is. Very quiet with the young man who brought me there. And he was just crying in my heart. The Lord just saying to me, you understand now? And that's why from that time on, the Bible became more precious to me. Looking at it, understanding it. Oh yes, I was Mike, the shepherd. I scattered the sheep. You know, Proverbs was a messenger sent. And what happened to him? He was taken away. The moment that Proverbs was taken away from off this earth, what happened to all those people? He just about Brother Jackson's dream. And Brother, he saw Brother standing upon a rock. A little pyramidal rock. And there was this cut stone looking top of it. And there was a crack that he used a crowbar to yell it up. People were crowding around him. And he took up the top of it. And Brother Jackson said there was white, shining, you know, surface. And Brother Bram said, look upon this. And all those people look upon. And Brother Bram moved away. And Brother Jackson said that from the corner of his eye, he turned and looked. And Brother Bram went over into the horizon. And the people just keep on looking at it, looking at it. And then after that, they look around. Brother Bram's gone. Where's Brother Bram? Oh, where's Brother Bram? My goodness. Brother Bram was just there, the shepherd. Not a shepherd. The shepherd. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of looking to Christ Jesus, the shepherd, you're always looking to Brother Bram, a shepherd, son of God. As the shepherd. It's called the sheep scattered. So we've got a mess in this entire message. Just as the disciples, they were all messed up. Remember what happened? Huh? When Jesus was taken and being judged, and Peter was out there among the people, hey, you are one of them. Because your action is a Galilean. You are with him. Remember that Jesus Christ, disciples, all of them were Galilean, huh? Huh? He says, no, 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 no. You're mistaken. Hey. You know how people will say? Yeah. Three times. He denied. And what about the other disciples? Some of them ran away, some of them hide somewhere because they were already scared. Because the master were taken. But what a lot of difference. Who is the second person that knew who Jesus was? The first one we already said it was Mary of Bethany. Right? I mean, she, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary Magdalene, and a few others, they're very close to Jesus beside the 12 disciples. But Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus Christ and knew that he's going to die. Disciples all have ideas, they have plans. But who was the other person that knew who Jesus Christ was? Come on! The thieves on the cross. The thief on the right hand of Jesus Christ. Mine. He wasn't a disciple. But after he had heard all sorts of things about Jesus Christ, of course, and being hanged up there for what crime he had committed, and looking at him, where Jesus was on his right, on his left, he recognized who he was. After everyone is really against him, and even though his partner in crime over the other side, maybe not a partner, but They're in the same job of being a criminal. What the other one said? He railed against Jesus guy, right? Criticize him and all that, you're an imposter and all that. But what did this man say? Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Think about it. You probably read the Bible like a record history. He said that. But what did he mean? He said that. Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. Just like nothing. It's just how many words are there? I mean, English, of course. Couple of words. Maybe a dozen. Maybe less than a dozen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 words. But you know something? It's a big revelation. What is he saying here? Who did he see in Jesus? What did he see in Jesus Christ? That the other did not see on the other side, and the people below him, around him. How many of them realize? The woman are crying. And then probably the whispering and murmuring of the crowd of people. Wow. That's a lot of voices. And that's what we said, that there are a lot of voices out here in the world. But can you hear the voice of God? He heard it. With all the voices around him. And having most likely, of course, knowing the news that brought around throughout Judea about this man, what he did and all that. And having people criticize him why this man on his left was crucified, hanging up there. And suddenly he got this revelation. Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. He saw in this man the Lord Jesus Christ as a king coming into his kingdom. But he must be dying first. He must die first before he could get his kingdom. Oh. Hey. We want a king that lives, right? Correct? But this demon on the right of Christ saw this man on his left as king. Has the king, has his king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knows that this man must die in order to get into his kingdom. Mary of Bethany and the thieves on the right hand of Jesus Christ. Now let's come to the passage that I give to you. I don't have much time, but let me just touch on it before we continue next week. Of all the views of people, now we are looking at the view of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he knows that he's going to his crucifixion, he's going to die. Of his ignominious death or crucifixion, what was Christ's own view? What was his view? What was his thought on it? What was his reflection on it? When Christ came and grew up all the way preaching the word and all this till his death at Calvary, what was the most important transaction? Of all the things that he had done, what was the most important? Was it the raising up of Lazarus from the dead? The healing of Jairus' daughter? Or the feeding the 4,000s and the 3,000? The healing of the blind man? Or the healing of the lepers? What is the most important transaction that he had performed all throughout all those years? What do you think is the most important? If you were to ask Jesus Christ, if you were the disciple, wow, Lord, the raising of Lazarus was fantastic. It must be your most important transaction to prove that you are the Messiah, that you have the power to raise the Son of God. Or you want to break the bread? And the fishes, and it multiplies. Wow! That's a miracle that nobody can deny it, that only God can perform. What do you think about it, Lord? Isn't it fantastic? Just think nothing of it. What was the most important transaction that he performed? It was this transaction. His crucifixion. Because he said, well, I came to serve, not to be served. I came that I maybe had a grain buried in the earth and die so that I could bring forth much fruit. This was his purpose. You, you're all born to live. But he was born to die. Now, do you have a mission? Well, you know you're all young people here. I mean, I'm old. You can know nothing about it. Why are you young people? You're born. Do you have a mission? It's a mission that you're born to die. We all want to live. We are born to live. So when we have a disease that is dying on us, is it not true? Oh, I have this growth here. Maybe it's cancer. I cough so much. Maybe I've got cancer in my throat. I don't want to die. No, we all want to live. Because our life is precious. But Jesus Christ is born to die. He knew he is born for one thing. To die. For you and me. To bear the cross. Right? Oh yes. When he grew up as a boy and a young man, he knew he was studying the scripture. He knew he was to fulfill the scripture, right? And 1 year passed, 1 month passed, 1 year passed, and so on. He grew. He preached the word. He knew that he's going to die, right? But the most important pain, the pain came. Oh, it seems the whole universe started to darken when he approached the cross. And I want you to think about it because you see, if it wasn't for this transaction and you're paying a price for you and me, you won't be here today. I won't be here today. Right? Correct. So now, let me go back to Gethsemane. Go back to the night just before the Gethsemane, because he was approaching. He was at the Passover table, and then he was going to Gethsemane. So let us go and look at Luke 22:35-38.
And he said to them, "When I send you without money, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now he who has the money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this is which is written must still be accomplished in me, and he was numbered with the transgressor. For the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough."
Now I ask you to study this, read and study this, you can understand this passage. I wonder how many of you understood what Jesus was trying to say. You don't get a disciple. Say, "When I send you out without money purse, without a scrip, which is like a haversack, a knapsack, a sling across, you know, to carry their food and carry a few other necessary items, and you go out without that, without a shoe, do you lack anything?" He said, "No, we lack nothing." Remember, Jesus was sent out to Pilate. He didn't tell them not to carry anything with them, money back with them. But now, he said to them, "But now," you will get puzzled over this passage. So when I was studying this last week, he says, "Well, no, you're trying to tell me. I read this often. But until Revelation hit me, it's right there in the passage of Scripture. But people are still looking at it. Then he said to them, but now, but hereafter, now from now on, he that have a money bag, let him take it. And likewise the scrip, likewise the knapsack, carry your food and carry some item with you. And he that have no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Oh, what? Last time we went out, we don't carry money. We don't carry food, a little knapsack of food, and we just wear our, you know, sandals, and then we lack nothing. But now you're asking us to carry the money back, and also some food, and also a sword. And if I don't have one, you ask me to buy one. Huh? He said this, "For I say unto you that this is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgression, for the things concerning me have an end." And then the disciple replied, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said, Jesus said, "It is enough. It is enough." It never comes to read the Bible like this. Huh? Now Jesus was talking to the disciple. Very frankly. "When I send you out the first time, do you need anything?" "No. But from now on, you go out. From now on, but now, hereafter. You want to go out? Of course you carry some money with you and a knapsack with you. And if you don't have a sword, buy one." And the disciple said, "Hey, look, we have two swords here. It is enough." Oh, really, Bob? Jesus said, the disciple said, "Here, two swords, Lord. It is enough. Let's go. Don't talk about it too much." What were you reading? How will we read the event that happened here? The sword is a really, and you know, I focus on the sword issue. The sword. What did Jesus ask them to buy a sword? And how many disciples are there? There are 12. And what is the sword? Yeah, the long one. Where you hold in two hands, like in a Templar knight, a knight Templar. You know those crusaders, you know, like, almost a meter long, holding in two hands. Is that what the sword is? Or is it a samurai kind of sword? Or something long? You see, the word here, no matter how you read it, you'll get messed up, because the revelation is not about the sword. See, the word sword here, in the Hebrew, in the Greek word, is makera, or machera. Some people pronounce it, depending on how you, where you come from, you pronounce Hebrew, or you pronounce it the Spanish way, pronounce it as machera. But what is a machera? And it's a word that I can tell you until this day, nobody know. It is not specific. What is a knife? What is a knife? A pen knife is a knife. Right? Yes. A Swiss knife is a knife. Yes. A chopping knife is a knife. A vegetable knife is a knife. A knife could be, well, 4 inches long. Or it could be as long as 1 meter. So it depends what you call a knife. But you think that the disciple, the fisherman, except for Matthew, most of the other are actually fishermen part-time, or maybe full-time. Some of them have the other job. But what kind of sword do they carry? Because the disciples say, here are 2 swords. Ooh, do you think that, the fishermen, they carry sword? Oh, what is a sword? It's a Roman sword. It's the one that's just very short. Like the one, you know, you always seen soldier fight in those days, right? Sword small, right? Is that the gun? Is that the sword? That's why the word translation is not good. Why would Peter want to carry a sword? But he carried a knife, yes. Like those day hunters, when they go out in the jungle, they carry a sword. The little dagger, we call it the dagger today, but they call it a sword. You understand? So it's a smaller the thing they carry. For whatever reason, they cut fish or cut the rope in the sailing boat, or what, cut the line in the fishing, whatever. Do you get it? Okay. Now, this word, sword, in the Bible can be translated from another Greek word, which is called rhodophyle. The rhodophyle tended to be a saber, a longer one. You understand? Okay? And usually, tendency is that they have the image of one with a longer handle, and the sword that goes out has a little curve, and it's only sharp on one side, for reaping. Got it? Not double-edged. It's for reaping. You know what I'm saying? So it's a two different one. Of course, nobody, the Bible did not use the word of hell. It's just a makel. And it can always be a small little knife or dagger. And usually one-sided. Okay, so what is Jesus Christ talking about here? And it's up here. Lord, you have 2 swords here. Oh, that's enough. What is your trying to express? Ah, that's enough. Don't talk about it. Let's go. Or just get, okay, that's good enough, let's go. No matter how people try to interpret, the weather here was just discussing, I said, that's enough. I said, my sword, you go and he said, do that, that's enough. But what's the text of this here? Now, he's facing that. Okay, he's going to Gethsemane now. Well, you're going to Gethsemane. No, he's talking about the script, he's talking about the money purse. Then you're asking about a sword. What is this all about? Are you getting me? Huh? Jesus is not sending them out. Now, bring your money back with you. Bring your knapsack with you. And buy a sword. Because they are just going to Gethsemane. And what time is that? It was in the night. In the evening time now. Would you think they have the time to go and buy a sword? And for what reason to buy a sword? You get what I'm saying? People misread this and they think that Jesus Christ said, buy a sword. So whenever you go, you should enter, be careful, they are robbers, fight them. Is that what it is? The revelation are not in the sword issue. Okay? The revelation of why Jesus Christ talked about the sword is in that statement in verse 37. For I said to you that it is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was, and then he quoted the scripture. And he was numbered among the transgressor, for the thing concerning me have an end, must be fulfilled, must be accomplished. Let us read two verses, Isaiah 53, verse 2. Isaiah 53:2. Oh, you're very patient, that's very good. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Stand up, read it. You got it? Go ahead.
Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor.
Huh? Jew was quoting the scripture. So he was to be numbered among the transgressor. Remember? A transgressor. What is a transgressor? Transgressor, there must be something that make him a transgressor. A criminal. That's all the reason they arrest him. Okay, let us look at another verse. Mark 15, 27 to 28.
And with him they crucified two thieves. One on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled. He said, he was numbered with the transgressors.
Right. So you see, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there was no sword, nothing. They couldn't touch him very much. But the fact that Christ knew what's going to happen, that's why he talked about the soul. And that's why Peter said, there are two here. And you know what happened when he was when they went to Garden of Gethsemane? Peter, of all persons, I will not deny you, Lord. Right? Always full of self-assurance. And here came the soldiers, Marcus. He threw his son and cut off his ears. And Jesus said, hold it. And Jesus took the ear and put it back. And Marcus was mentioned because he later on became a believer. Whenever the Bible mentions a name, take note. I mean, after his ear was cut off and now he's go back. He's put back. Huh? Here was a sword. Jesus was a violent man. Look at his disciples. They're violent. And he was the leader. So you look at this whole situation as what took place. The Pharisees can accuse him of blasphemy. Right? And the Roman people, the Pontius Pilate, when he judged him, I find no fault in him. Huh? You go and crucify him? Because he didn't break any law, right? Got it? But here was this knife issue and the sword issue. Because the Roman didn't blame him. But this was to show that he was numbered among criminals, thieves, and bad guys. Ah, Jesus was bad. Do you know that? Jesus was a bad man. A blasphemer. Really? Or was he because in the eyes of religious people? So think about it. So that's why the Bible, Jesus said to them, when he talked about the sword, he quoted the scripture, so that they might understand. But the disciples didn't understand that. So that the scripture must be fulfilled. That what is talking about me, what is, was prophesied among me, must be accomplished in me. That I will be numbered among the transgressor. Amen? We come back next week. Heavenly Father, your grace, Lord,
for grace. Thank you. Bless thy word, O Lord, and to get further, break it down. As each and every one of us, Lord, look into thy word closely. That we can be, we might behold you, Father, as who you are, as who Christ really is, the everlasting Father in him and in me, that we might be one, O Father, with you. He did all that for us, and we thank you, Father. Lord, that we might continue to walk closely with Jesus Christ our Lord from day to day. Bless now, Lord. Bless thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen.